Everybody, and welcome to Binge Watch with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
I'm Frank.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing good. I'm Frank. Don't want to mess with me.
It wasn't that grumbly.
Yeah, he was. That's Shane from The Walking Dead, by the way.
Don't really watch Walking Dead, so is he an important guy from Walking Dead?
He absolutely was an important guy.
Was? Spoiler alert.
Or is, depending on how you look at it.
Anyway.
You sound good.
Actually, I'm much better. I'm much better. It sounds... The bark is worse than its bite, unlike Frank Castle's bite through all the guns. but yes, we are here to talk about season 2 of Daredevil on this episode of Binge Watch. And it was a lot of fun to watch. Excited to talk about it. Jack's binge took a little bit longer than mine. And by a little bit, a lot bit. But we are here.
I got side binged.
That's what I'm saying. You cheat binged. You binged another show.
You broke the unwritten rule of the code.
I did cheat binge.
I did get side binged on a show, but you know, there's other shows out there, and you start watching that show, and you go, "Ooh, I mean, 11/22/63 I got kind of sidetracked on, and you know, there's other shows I'm watching, but I had to neglect all those shows this week just to finish Daredevil.
Or it's the old, you know, finish, you know, your homework so you can go play outside. If you were stuck to Daredevil, you could have finished all of these other shows.
But I don't do that. I don't like homework. I don't believe in homework. And I didn't want to do it.
I did binge
last night, 3 episodes, and finished it because I was going to binge 2 and watch 1 today. But I said, no, I'm powering through it. Binge through it. Actually, when I got to the 11th episode, when I got to the 12th episode, I go, well, now I got to see how it ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right there.
I mean, I'm that close.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so excited to talk
I'm going to change my name to Foggy, though.
Hey, Foggy's pretty darn good lawyer there.
Fulton Reese.
From Mighty Ducks. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack. Yes.
But yes, excited to talk about this season. Before we get to that, we've got to thank people that make this show possible. It's you, the listeners, our patrons over at patreon.com/JayandJack. Become a patron today. You can check out that website or check out our own at jayandjack.com. Click the Become a Patron link at the top of the page and become one of our 130-plus patrons that make this show possible, and thank you to all of those patrons. Another partnership that we have with Loot Crate over at lootcrate.com/JayandJack. This month's theme is Quest, and they're talking about there's exclusive Labyrinth t-shirt for all the Bowie fans out there is part of this package. For less than $20 a month, you get a package of awesome geeky goodness delivered to your doorstep, a $45 value. So sign it today by going over to lootcrate.com/JayandJack. If you've heard about it before and you've always kind of, maybe, I don't know, now's the time to check it out. Go over to lootcrate.com/JayandJack. All right, Action Jackson, you want to jump into talking about Daredevil today? Like with all binge watch is, we'll focus on one main show, then we'll decide if it's binge worthy or not. Then we're going to have Fill Your Show Hole, which with the amount of cheat binging that Jack has been doing, maybe one of those shows will fill in the show hole.
Are we going to talk about 11/22/63?
Well, I thought we were going to binge that next or talk about that on the show next. But again, somebody was cheating.
We're not talking about tonight. Today, we'll worry about it later.
Because I mean, I want to talk about it. I haven't seen it because I watched Daredevil instead. But
you haven't finished it?
No, I was watching Daredevil because we were supposed to binge it.
Well, it's one episode a week. But now it's complete. It's all out there. You can binge right through 11/22/63 on Hulu.
I know. I think I'm on episode 6. So I'm not that far behind, but I haven't seen the conclusion yet.
So hopefully no one spoils you.
I mean, it's one or two things. Either he lets Kennedy get shot or he prevents him from getting shot. I mean, so It's more about, I guess, what's the ramifications of what happened. So we'll see. I'm excited about seeing that whenever we do get to it.
All right.
But that's neither here nor there. And then we also have rewatch, rewind, replay, and catch up to talk about as well. All right, Jack, you ready to get into some Daredevil talk? Season 2.
Ready.
Daredevil. All right. Season 2 picks up right where Season 1 left off. I mean, there's a quick kind of overview of Season 1. Really liked it. It was kind of very fresh. Awesome fight scenes. I really didn't know what to expect from the
Me
the,
either.
From the show, because the I would say, and Jack, you can agree or disagree with me, it seems like for movies, Marvel has the edge as far as superhero movies go. Like the Marvel Universe, huge success, a lot of great movies, and they're all kind of interconnected.
I would agree, and like I said, I only watched the pilot episode of Daredevil 1.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't have time to go back and watch 2. Now I will go back and watch 2 since season 1 since I just finished 2, because I did enjoy it.
Well, I was going to let you. I wasn't going to. You put it out there. I wasn't going to say that you watched or didn't watch it. But if you,
I don't cheat. I don't sit there and I'm not phony about it. I just said there's no way I can go back and watch 25 episodes in 2 weeks. There's no way.
But okay. So Marvel, I think the movies have been, but the TV shows. I had the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I wasn't a big fan of. Some people really like it. I heard it got really good.
Someone said it's. I guess season 2 got really good, but I gave it 4 episodes, and I said, okay, other than the cool car, this is pretty bad.
Yeah, and then they had another one, Agent Carter, which I watched one episode. It's like it's okay, it wasn't great. It's on ABC. It's a little hokey, but it seems like. And then in the movies, DC has not really had a huge success, but it seems DC's TV shows have done a really good job, like The Flash and Arrow. So I was a little hesitant about how the Netflix Marvel shows would work out. And the first season of Daredevil I thought was fantastic. It was fresh. The fight scenes I thought were great. A little bit over the top and bombastic. But again, it's a comic book show. But it's also very dark and gritty. Like the Frank Miller Daredevil comics were. And Daredevil has always been one of my personal favorite comic book characters. I got his action figure when I was 5. So I always thought he was a cool superhero. Because, I mean, a guy that's blind, but he's able to basically be, like, superhuman. I thought it was just a really, really cool concept as a little kid.
But does he benefit from being blind?
Well, so the toxic chemicals that made him blind gave him super senses, essentially. So
right,
he almost has like sonar abilities to where the sounds. Yeah, and he can see.
His way of seeing the world is probably better than you and I.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it helps him in the fight in fights because he just has this ability.
Yeah,
this amazing ability.
Yeah. So it's a really cool character, cool concept. I've always been a fan of it. The Ben Affleck movie, I was kind of like, meh. It was a little kind of drab.
I forgot he did the movie.
I forgot about
that.
And Jennifer Garner was Elektra. Colin Farrell was Bullseye. And I think what's the guy's name from The Green Mile was Kingpin, I think.
Oh, okay. The guy that died.
Yeah. God, what's his name? Either way. So I was like, it was kind of a little. It was pre. Well, again, that was. It's not part of actual Marvel Studios. It was a. God, who made that one? Was it Fox? Either way, the rights came back to Marvel, and I think they made a really good TV show. And season 2 introduced some new characters. Punisher was brought into this season again. Punisher, I always thought he was a cool guy. Definitely. More anti-hero, even bad guy in some ways, than hero. When he was first introduced in the comics, he was a bad guy to Spider-Man, and then Elektra.
But I don't blame that because nobody likes spiders.
And then you have Elektra, who was an important character introduced into Daredevil, or in Frank Miller's run. Which again, this season had a lot of the stuff from the Frank Miller's line, which is like The Hand, Elektra. So for fans, like big fans of Daredevil, this had some of the greater mythology type stuff from probably his most popular run.
What I thought was fun, Elektra, you can't decide if you like her, you hate her, you like her, you hate her, you like her, you hate her. even the Punisher, he's like, but I kind of felt, I had no problem with what the Punisher was doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like kind of the Punisher kind of asks that question. Well, a lot of like vigilante type superheroes, they toe that line, right, of, okay, they're breaking the law, but they're like doing the things that the law can't do because it's the law.
Right.
And Punisher kind of takes that to the max, right? He kills people. Like there's no, I mean, he executes people.
He's crossed the line.
But again, you kind of, it's a sympathetic story in that, you know, his family was brutally murdered in front of him. And that's just the path that he took.
He couldn't save them, but he's gonna revenge their deaths.
Yeah, yeah. So again, it can be where it's a little bit too overloaded when you have that much stuff going on. But I thought overall, I thought they intertwined the different stories really well. I thought the Punisher, Frank Castle storyline, I thought was really cool, and the kind of mystery behind that. And it was really quick, too. Like, that one didn't really linger. Like, it just, the pace was fast on that the whole time. The Elektra stuff, and then Styx coming in, and then introducing the Hand was really cool. And then bringing in Wilson Fisk, who's Kingpin, played brilliantly by Vincent D'Onofrio, who you know him from, Jack. What shows is he from? Movies and shows?
He's from that movie that I watch.
You know him from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah. He's also in a
Law and Order,
Criminal Intent. He always plays a bizarre character.
Yeah. And you know, he had a great turn because he was the big bad from season one. I know I only watched the first episode, but he's ends up being the big bad in season one.
I figured there was a tie in there because, well,
but him getting tied, I thought was really cool. And I thought the payoffs overall were fairly good on all the different things. But what also
played in too, is they're still leaving things open for season three.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's definitely more to come. But it was a very like tightly packed, lot of story going on. But it didn't seem like it was too much. It didn't seem like it was like, okay, where is this going on? There's too much stuff going on. It was still cohesive enough. Like if you look at if you had to compare it to something like True Detective season two, where it was just, it had a lot of crap and it didn't really go anywhere. And then by the end where they had the resolution, it was like, really, that's where they're going. All right. That was kind of a waste.
It didn't have the payoff.
No. But this one, I thought overall, tied up just about everything, but then also kind of set it up for, the next season.
Well, you have Foggy going his own direction, Karen going in her direction.
Yeah.
And Matt going. So they're all three not together anymore.
Yeah. Which, again, you can kind of see, like, I can't blame Foggy. You know, I mean, he's just kind of, he's left in the dark a lot, and he cares right. about him. He loves him. He's his friend, best friend. And, you know.
But he's got to live his life, too.
Yeah. And what's kind of cool is it's intertwining with the other Marvel shows that they've put on Netflix. So, I don't know if you watch Jessica Jones at all.
I'm not.
But Jessica, she's not in it, but the Rosario Dawson's character, Claire Temple. She's a nurse. She worked on Matt Murdock in season one. And then she shows up in Jessica Jones because she helps with Luke Cage, who's a character introduced in Jessica Jones, and he's getting his own show. And then eventually they're all going to come together in kind of an Avengers-type show called The Defenders, where they're all going to get together.
The Defenders of the Avengers.
Overall, just I thought it was a really good season. Like all the storylines I thought were really good. I thought Elektra was great. To your point, it was kind of like, you know, love to hate her, hate to love her. She was also really hot. Like Colleen kept saying the whole time, she's like, she's so hot. Like, why is he even bothering with Karen? Because Elektra's hot. He should just be with her.
But she's got a dark side, whereas Karen is nice. Karen,
she's
is
sweet and wholesome.
Yeah, well, she is. She's you know, she's in where Elektra is. She's a killing machine.
Yeah. I mean, she pretty much is, like, right, just straight up killing machine. And then really how it kind of ends, she might just turn into that killing machine that they're saying she will. But what was your thoughts overall? Like, if breaking down the different stories, and again, you're not necessarily a comic book aficionado.
No.
You're more of a Star Wars comic book collector than anything. But
I enjoyed the flashbacks. I always like when flashbacks are done well. I always like them. I like how they went Elektra's backstory and showed how, you know, she started out. I mean, you're watching this brutal scene where she's, what, 13, maybe 14?
Yeah.
And she's fighting four or five guys and they're literally punching her. And you're like going, oh, my God, how does someone do that? But then she at the end, she grabs the last guy and she's just killing him. And Stick comes over, Elektra. He might be a jerk, but you can't kill him. He's one of us. We don't kill our own.
Yeah.
So just the whole backstory, then she has to, you know, escape, and she gets adopted by other parents, and, you know, and she thinks he's leaving her. And I love that story. And you got Frank's backstory, and you know how you hear, you know, how what happened to him and why the Punisher is who he is. And I just enjoyed it. I thought it just flowed. It was perfect. It was, you know, there really wasn't a bad episode.
Yeah, like every single one was pretty.
And the fight scenes, oh my God, the choreography of that alone had to just take hours.
Yeah. And that's what was like what people loved about season one was the fight scenes. There's a really good one, I think episode two or three, where it's just like a one track shot fight scene. And they had another big one in this season. I think it was the second episode or third episode where. It's when Daredevil's like chained to the top and then he breaks free and he still has the chain and then he has to go through like beat up the whole biker gang's coming at him and he has to like take out the whole biker gang.
And as he's going down the stairs.
Yeah.
And,
so it was a synthetic one shot, but it was basically like one shot of him just like taking out this whole biker gang, which was awesome.
It's just the stunt work, the choreography. Like I said, it must take hours upon hours upon hours, all the extras it takes. I'm not big into the whole karate movies, you know. I mean, I watch them and stuff like that, but you just have to be impressed by the actions, how there's. I mean, sometimes you can tell they swing and they miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of tell, even though it's filmed dark.
Yeah.
You can still kind of tell, but still, when they're jumping over each other and kicking this way and kicking that way, you can't help but be impressed. I mean, I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And how he throws his cane,
yeah,
and just hits people in the head. It's just amazing. It's an amazing character, and it's when I grew up in this, you know, '60s Superman, '50s '60s Superman, '50s '60s Batman, you know, that kind of where it was kind of, you know, the Adam West and the,
yeah,
you know, it's the original, you know, the is it Chris Reeves, the original Superman.
George Reeves.
You know, the whole hokey, you know, where this has more, it's darker. Mm-hmm. And it has, and the story is better. Whereas before, you just watch it because you're a kid, go, oh my God, I wish I could fly. This is just amazing. How does he do this? How does he, you know, and then when they go silent on him, they learn, yeah, you know, to try and fight him. And he, you know, and Stick is telling him, you know, you have to use your energy, you have to listen for them to breathe and wait, and you know, eventually they'll breathe. It just was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of, if you go back to season one, that they'll kind of show, they follow his backstory a lot more. And then you also see what he sees from his kind of sonar ability. It's kind of cool. But what was it called? It was like Fire and Light or something like that. But it's really cool. What was your thoughts on, because to me, like, out of all that, I feel like you would identify with the Frank Castle, you know, Punisher kind of character. Because you like a Dexter, where it's like, okay, he's killing people, but they're people he should be killing.
I mean, obviously, in the real world, you don't want people like that running around the streets and stuff like that. But in the movie world, and you know, it's like,
to me, it seems like a Jack kind of superhero. You know, the Clint Eastwood,
exactly. Dirty Harry. He's taken out the trash, and people that just don't deserve to live.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the real world, you're like, okay, we can't do that. But, you know, I get the whole laws and stuff like that. But, you know, I get that. But in a movie, in a TV show, I root for people like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's old Charles Bronson. Well, the first couple, okay, but then it went got to
Death Wish.
I mean, how many? Death Wish 35. It's like, okay, I get it. Don't mess with Charles Bronson or Liam Neeson. Don't take his daughter, okay? That's all you have to do is take someone else. Take someone else's daughter. But yeah, he just has a. At first, you think he's just a killing machine because you know he breaks into the hospital, and he's chasing after her and then Karen, you know but he doesn't kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, this guy's just a cold blooded killer. What's going on? Because the opening the scene with the in the bar,
yeah,
where he just blows everybody away. Mm-hmm. And. And you find out it's only one person. You go, that was one person? How is that possible?
Yeah.
No, I do like his character. And I'm glad he didn't die at the end. I'm glad at the end, you know, he goes, all right, see you later, Red. You know, where he's still out there.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy it. I would say the whole time to Matt, you need to tell Karen who you are.
Yeah.
This is not, I mean, eventually she's going to see the bruises.
Well, she sees the bruises already. Like, his face is beat up every single time.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, how many times can he walk into a refrigerator? It's like, okay, but, I mean, she seems pretty smart.
Yeah.
And she's got the detective type instincts because we see her as an investigative reporter now.
Yeah.
But yet, Matt comes in with bruises all over his face. Oh, yeah, I fell down.
Well, it could be one of those things where it's like she probably knows subliminally, but she just can't let herself believe it or something.
Right.
At least it's a little bit more effective that he's blind. So it's not so much just wearing glasses. Like, oh, he's wearing glasses. He can't be Superman. It's like, oh, he's blind. Okay.
Right. He's blind.
Yeah.
Clark Kent is Superman?
Yeah. It's probably a bit more for someone like, oh, well, he's blind. He's also that superhero that's destroying everybody.
But he doesn't change his voice. He has the same voice.
True. He doesn't have a superhero voice, does he?
No, he doesn't have or you know, it's not like in Flash where he distorts the voice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same voice
in Flash. I thought it was Arrow. He distorts the voice. Is it Flash too?
Flash he does too.
Ah, Flash doesn't feel like a very good disguise though. It's like half his face is open, the eyes are wide open.
Yeah, I never understood how people can't. He's got the same body shape as.
He's like a scrawny little kid.
But I like the Flash. I'm not going to bash it.
At least Arrow is kind of like he has the hood and the mask. He has the hood. And he has the voice changing. Even though
this is my city.
Even though he tells everybody that he is Arrow, so I don't know if it's that much of a secret.
Yeah, I'm on season four, and I think the only person that doesn't know is probably, I don't know.
Yeah, we won't spoil anybody.
I don't want to spoil anyone, but no.
But again, like two episodes into the entire show, like first season is like half the city knows.
Right. This is my city.
It's like, yes, I know it, Ollie.
Yeah.
But no, so.
And in Arrow, anyone can be a superhero.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, no, I thought Frank Castle's storyline was cool. What did you think about his kind of turn in the prison when they tried to turn on him and he took out all the prisoners?
Oh, that was great. That was just great. He's just they were great fight scenes.
Yeah.
And to the point where it wasn't like that just popped out on us. You've seen him do it leading up to that.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him fight Matt.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, Daredevil. You saw him fight this who's And he was toe-to-toe with him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a couple times he beat him.
Yeah.
So you see that. So in the fight scene and the thing, it's not like all of a sudden he beats up 12 guys in a prison.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, come on. They led up to that.
Well, when he takes the shot, like right off the point blank to the head in their first fight, I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
It's ruthless. A good thing he had the suit. One of the things, so season one, what I really liked is that he didn't have his suit yet. It was kind of like a homemade kind of thing. It's kind of like a bandana that covered his face. It was really cool. Like, it was a really cool kind of look. And then he didn't really get the suit till the end of the season one. And that suit, I was kind of about. So I was glad they kind of got rid of it because it got shot in the head. I thought the new mask was way cooler, or way more Daredevil-esque. Just a side note about the costume. I thought the second costume he got was much better, or much more Daredevil.
He needs to get something where it holds on, because it's come off a couple times. So,
well, he takes it off, isn't the mask? Well, no,
a couple times it got in a fight. It came off. So,
oh yeah,
the final scene it came off. I'm like, going, I got something to show you, Karen. Oh really? I never saw that coming.
You don't say. You don't say.
Now, will she be mad at Foggy?
Because
Foggy never told her.
I don't know. It's my guess is that she'll probably be really upset, and then they won't really get together till the end of season three. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would be the cliche way to go with it. I think, I'm not saying this show is cliche. It generally isn't. To certain degrees on certain things, but I would say it would make sense if she's like upset or whatever, and then eventually she comes around by the end of season three.
All right,
but with Elektra being reborn, who knows how that's gonna change things or whatever, or they get back together end of season three, and then Elektra shows up at the end of season three.
Shouldn't Stick have known to bury her somewhere else, not just a public grave that you just—it's that grave you see when you're driving.
Yeah, I feel like I should have seen that coming. You know, it's like
that was kind of a rookie mistake there. I think
there's just this cask where they're draining people's blood to go into, and you know the people can't die in the hand.
Well, and Stick knows. He goes when he goes, you're gone this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this time you're done.
Yeah.
So, unless he wanted her to come back.
But he didn't, because he doesn't want her to turn into, was it Dark Sky or whatever it was? Doesn't want her to turn into that weapon.
But why would he be so... Nonchalant
about it?
Yeah, to me, I was like, okay, that's burying her in a public place. Oh, I don't know. I guess it would end the storyline, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's kind of cool about the hand coming and everything like that, I think it's been on Comic Book Men, but, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like the first issue, was basically like a complete, not ripoff, but like retelling of Frank Miller's, Daredevil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, whereas Daredevil's the evil ninjas that he's fighting is called the Hand. In Ninja Turtles, it's the Foot. So the Foot Clan.
The Foot. The Foot doesn't sound as awesome as the Hand.
No, but again, it's like that's the Foot Clan, and then you have Shredder that's ahead of it, and I don't know who's the analogous to Shredder, but
well, Shredder's got a cool name, but
yeah,
the Foot. I mean. I don't know. Not scaring me on the
But anyway, so it's just a cool piece of trivia. I had a bit of a pop culture dissonance with my wife when I was telling her that. She's like, oh, is that what? I was like, wait. Did you not watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when you were a kid? I was like, what is going on? So she was a Ninja Turtles fan as a child.
I watched it. I actually liked the movies.
The first movie is great. First movie is pretty much... that first comic book.
Because I remember taking you, I think definitely you, I don't know if your sisters were old enough, but I remember going to see it going, and I was watching it.
Yeah.
Going, hey, this is cool. I go, really? I got to go see this stupid cartoon, now a movie? Oh, this is cool. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, no, it's, I think the first one's, it's still, there's not one that's been done better.
Yeah, sometimes I think you agree. You just let a movie just stop at one. Sometimes you just gotta stop at one.
Yep. The canister of ooze that fell into the storm drain exposed the turtles and Splinter was meant to have been the same that bounced off Matt Murdock's face. So you have Master Stick, right, is Daredevil's master.
Yeah.
Right, Master Stick. For the Turtles, you have Master Splinter.
Yeah.
Right, Splinter of a stick. And then the foot.
Now, why was Elektra, when she went to go kill Stick, why was she making so much noise? Maybe. When she could have just beat him, but because how do you beat Stick and how do you beat Daredevils? You're as quiet as possible. She was so loud when she was fighting him in that fight scene, mm-hmm. when she was trying to kill him.
Well, maybe she didn't really want to kill him. I would have so gone in there.
Probably deep down, she just probably was angry. You know, that was probably it. She was just probably lashing out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I was just like, be quiet.
Don't make a sound. But again, he knows, so he would just wait for the breaths, right?
True. But she's a killing machine. Don't mess with her.
Yeah, did you kind of, do you see her point? Because Stick sent somebody to kill her.
Well, yeah, sent him to kill her. I get it, but because Matt, the reason Matt couldn't hang out with her because Matt can't cross the line. But eventually, I feel Matt is going to have to cross the line. He's going to have to start killing people.
Does he though? Like, does he have to start killing people?
Yeah, because eventually you can't keep fighting people and just eventually it's going to come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Frank. You know, Frank's Castle's way might not be the best way, but these people can't come back and hurt him anymore.
Yeah.
Once he eliminates them, they're gone. Whereas Matt, he just lets them go. Oh, they're in jail, or they're causing problems in jail.
Well, even showing like Wilson Fisk, he could have killed him, but now that in jail, is it any better? You know.
He's still running the show.
Yeah. It's something he's going to have to face. It's a good call. What's your thoughts on Scott Glenn as Stick? Are you a Scott Glenn fan? He's been in.
I've always been a Scott Glenn fan. He was in The Right Stuff. That's where I think I first saw him, and he was also in Urban Cowboy.
Yeah, with
John Travolta and Deborah Winger. No, I like Scott Glenn.
Yeah,
he's just gotten old.
He's 75.
Is he 75?
75.
Well, he's in the Leftovers, too. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Leftovers.
Yeah.
God, he's 75. Well, you know what? He's in pretty good shape for 75.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I wouldn't fight him.
That's right. I forget that he's in Leftovers. His dad.
Yeah, he's the dad. So, yeah, I forget. You forget all about it because he's been in so much stuff. But
yeah.
I love Scott Glenn.
But yeah, good cast. Like, I thought everybody's performances were really good. What did you think of Wilson Fisk or Vincent, him as Wilson Fisk? I'll be excited to see what you think if you go back to season one, just like that whole story arc was really interesting.
Well, he basically plays the same guy in every movie.
Uh-huh.
He just has that kind of creep. He just has that. He plays creepy very well.
Yeah.
You know, like you said in Full Metal Jacket, he's
But he doesn't
just,
necessarily play the same character. He just always kind of plays a off person.
He does, and when he does, because even his role in Criminal Intent, SVU Criminal Intent, he's different.
Yeah,
he's got a different type of personality to him, and he does it well. I'm not saying he's playing the same guy. He just does crazy, strange, great.
Yeah,
it's a great actor. I mean, he was very convincing in his. He's not overacting. So, you know, a lot of actors in that kind of a scene would overact, you know, but he's just very, you know, very calm and the way he does it. He's a fantastic actor. So,
But yeah, I'll be excited to see if you go back to season one just because his storyline was really interesting. It was fun to watch. But no, like, I think what my favorite scene is when after. Frank Castle is being tortured and he kills the main Irish mob guy and Daredevil saves him and takes him out of there and they're sitting in the cemetery and, you know, Frank Castle just kind of bears a soul to him there.
Right.
I thought that was a really great scene. I thought it was just really well acted and take away the crazy fight scenes and everything. I just thought it was like a really intimate moment. I thought it was
Even when they were on the boat, you know, he's poured gasoline all over it, and he pushes Daredevil off the boat to save him.
Yeah,
and then the boat, you know, they fight one last time. He goes, "It's my way. This is my way." And Daredevil's saying, "No, there's another way. There's another way." And Frank's like, "No, no." And even to the end, Frank didn't live that way. He has his code, and Matt has his code, and they coexist. They have a mutual respect for each other, even though Matt would rather he not kill everybody. Right?
Yes. Yes.
But they both keep true to their code.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, overall, really enjoyed the season. I'd argue possibly the best superhero TV show. That's just my opinion. But again, I know there's huge Flash fans and huge Arrow fans, so I don't want to say it like
having watched both, they're just different shows because Flash is not as dark.
Yeah, I feel like Flash is a little bit more fun, and Daredevil is just very brutal.
Flash has what I like about Flash. It has some comedy.
Yeah,
it has some lighter moments, whereas Daredevil is pretty much 98% dark. I mean, there's not much laughter. There's not much levity. And you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's true. You know, from start to finish, it's telling a story. This is the story, and you're not here to laugh. And it's brutal. I mean, it's brutal at times. I mean, some of the scenes where Flash is not going to give you the shots to the head and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not for the squeamish. It's definitely
no. There's
it's a rated R kind of show. It's on Netflix. Oh, yeah. It's not rated, but it's definitely rated R type violence.
Oh yeah, they couldn't show a lot of this stuff on network TV.
Oh yeah, they couldn't even come close on a lot of these things.
But they're both great. Like I said, Flash is a great show, and Daredevil was excellent. So,
well, I think that's a good segue to go to: is it binge worthy? So, Jack, even though it took you forever, you kind of stalled out at episode 5. Do you think it's binge worthy?
It's definitely binge worthy. Like I said, once I sat down, I said, okay, I watched the last 8 episodes in 3 days.
But was that because you had to, because we had to record the show, or did you actually...
If I wasn't told to, I have to, because we agreed to do it, and I said, all right. I said, that's right. Yeah, I did agree to do it. I'm not going to be Jay and not watch it. I said, yeah, I'll sit down and I'll watch it. But then I was getting involved in some other shows. I go, oh, I put these shows on hold. All right, I'll sit through it. But like I said... Once I got going on it, I go, yeah, I'm glad I did it. It's one of those things where you're forced to do it, but you don't. I don't. It's one of those things where I forced to do it. I ended up I go, hey, this show. It wasn't my fringe.
Okay.
That's good.
So even though you're forced to do it, and generally you're somebody that if you tell you to do something, you'll do it, but you'll hate it. You did enjoy it very much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at least open-minded. I mean, sometimes I'll watch something, and I go, oh, I hate this show. It's so stupid. But no, it was excellent. The acting is great, the writing is great, the storytelling is great, and the action scenes, you know, it can get a little over the top, but it's like, you have to remind yourself, okay, it's a comic book story.
Yeah.
It's not obviously real life, but it's well done.
Nice.
I'd like to see the behind the scenes parts where they're filming the fight scenes.
Yeah. Again, if you go back to season one, it's still my favorite one. It's a one shot, but it's just kind of one shot but a hallway, and it's a really cool shot. I don't want to say much more than that because it's the plot points very interesting as well. I think it adds to it.
Well, like you said, this year where he's going down the stairs fighting the bikers.
Yeah.
All the way down the stairs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 15, 16 flights, and all these bikers keep coming in and in, and they're just...
Wait, he has a gun taped to one hand and a chain on the other, and he's using those as, like, his weapons.
Right. It's fantastic.
It was really cool. It was really, really cool. I will give it a binge-worthy as well. Again, really like season one, so was definitely pumped when season two was going to come around. And season two did not disappoint, was not slow at all. And again, I watched Jessica Jones and enjoyed that as well. I didn't like Jessica Jones as much as Daredevil, but Jessica Jones definitely picked up towards the end. To me, Jessica Jones was more about the bad guy in that season was a pretty bad dude. So I think that's what kind of drove that show for me more. and it got really good towards the end. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And Luke Cage is introduced in there, so I'm excited to see where that goes. And I'm excited to see how it all starts to tie into the Defenders, which I think will, you know, if everybody comes in, even the Punisher in there, I think it'll be a very interesting season of a show. But overall, really, really like the season. Like what Netflix is doing here and Marvel's doing here. I think it's an interesting way to do a superhero show. Because to Jack's point, it's just, this wouldn't be on regular TV. So it's kind of cool that it can exist in the Netflix world of things. In the streaming world of things.
In the streaming world. Of the binge-worthy world.
So, binge-worthy, yes. If you think it is and you agree with us, give us a call at 385-309-0311 or send an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. All right, now it's time to fill our show hole. Now that we have this void in our lives because we have finished Daredevil, there's a lot of other binge-worthy shows or possibly binge-worthy shows out there. Jack, do you want to say we'll do 11-23-16-22-63 next?
Yeah,
finish
I'd say
that
so.
One out.
Yeah.
And there's also Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which definitely excited about.
Well, I'm excited about that kind of a binge show because it's like 22 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because some of the Daredevils are like almost an hour, you know. An hour? But it's okay.
No, there's definitely some because it was getting to late nights and I'm trying to go to bed earlier. And it's like, all right, we'll watch the first 15 minutes and then I'll go to bed.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. I go, all right, I got to watch one episode because I got to be done by Sunday. I got to watch two tonight. And I go, oh, the next one's 58 minutes. Oh, no.
But yeah, no, definitely excited about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt season two. And I think that'll be a pretty quick binge. But yes, 11-22-63 will be next to fill our show hole, which will be a lot of fun.
Spoiler alert, I think that's binge-worthy.
Well, we talked about it on our Patron's Choice podcast. We talked about the first five episodes. And so this one, there's eight total, so we'll be talking about the first five a little bit and then really dig into the last four, which close out the show.
They would show up on Hulu Sunday night at 12:01, and I'd watch it.
Well, it's a great mix of... You know, conspiracy theory, like the Kennedy assassination is just one of those. There's so many conspiracy theories.
It's one of those cool things, the Kennedy assassination.
No, it's not cool, but
it's one of those fantastic cool things. I mean,
but it's one of those, like, you know, it's like everybody, because you have films like JFK, where it's just, is it just a straightforward thing? It's just Lee Harvey Oswald, and he was just a lone wolf kind of thing.
If it happened today, everybody would have a phone out.
But even today, there's just things where it's mysterious you don't know.
Right. Well, the plane that went down. You know,
like who would
still
think
don't really
that?
Know it.
Today, in today's age, like that would happen.
Right. But no, it's a cool concept. 11-22-63. Well, it's the concept. What you do? Would you go back and kill Hitler?
Yeah.
What could be worse? What could happen worse? I mean, what could happen that would be worse than what Hitler caused?
Yeah. Well, it's that classic kind of time, if you had a time machine question.
Right.
And then there's just the different theories of time. My theory of time would be it's kind of like a river, in that if the river's flowing, you throw a rock into the river, it creates a ripple, but eventually the flow of the river will keep pushing forward. So... say you stopped that from being killed there, I think you would eventually still be killed anyway, just because it'll course correct itself.
Or if you change it, would not be born because certain situations could change.
Or that's the butterfly effect, right? Like I'm
not born, so then I can't go back and change it.
Which then, it resolves itself, right?
Right.
But either way, we'll be excited to talk about that. On our next binge watch with Jay and Jack. All right, now it's time to talk about those shows that we're rewatching, rewinding, rerunning, or catching up on the side. So, Jack, you're a more prolific TV viewer than I am.
Well, not anymore because I got stuck watching one show. So, No, I started watching The Path with Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
I kept hearing things about it. It's another Hulu show where they show one episode. Hulu does things differently. They just throw you a bone every now and then.
Here's my question with Hulu. Is it better than just to wait till it's all out so you can just go through it binge style? Or it's worth it just to see what happens so you can kind of keep up to date on something?
Well, like I said, if 11/22/63 would have been I probably would have watched all 8 episodes the first day.
Would you have preferred that option versus having to wait?
Again, it goes back to, well, do I get more out of it by watching just one episode a week? Do I soak more in because so much happened? You know, there's so much happening. I mean, it wasn't that. It's not like you're not trying to figure out different theories in 11/22. So you're just kind of just watching the story they're telling. But it depends on the show.
Yeah.
If it's a show where there's a lot, like you have to soak in. It's like the show with the first one we did with the Making of a Murderer.
Yeah.
There's so much information they're throwing at you. If you watch 2 or 3 episodes at a time, it's gonna you can't. There's no way you can soak it all in.
Yeah.
There's just you're gonna hear what you want to hear, and then some of the parts you're just gonna miss.
Yeah.
There's no way you can soak it all in. So is it better to watch a show like that, one show a day?
Mm-hmm.
Watch it, okay, got it, watch it, or just, I got to find out what happens next. It just depends on the show.
Yeah.
Like I said, 11/22/63, I don't think I would have been, I think I would have rather watched that in one day.
Yeah.
Because I kept going, ah! And then you'd have to wait a week.
Yeah.
I had to wait a whole week to find out what happened.
But again, this kind of post binge style show that Netflix and Amazon,
right,
and others put out there. It's just it's tough going to the more traditional style release structure.
Can you imagine if the world had to go back in Dallas where Who Shot JR? I got to wait 6 months. What?
Well, I mean, again, that's any cliffhanger on a seat. Like you know, Lost was like 10 months between.
Right. Well, the Walking Dead spoiler left on a cliffhanger. And people are just outraged.
Well, from what I understand, that was kind of a BS cliffhanger.
Well, there was no reason to have the cliffhanger. We talked about it in the podcast, Walking Dead with 3 Stupid Guys. It was just a stupid cliffhanger.
Well, it seems like they had a couple stupid cliffhangers with, again.
Well, they had, that's where they blew it. They had something where they had a character where they didn't reveal it for like 4 weeks. By the fourth week, nobody cared.
Yeah. Well, it's not that nobody cared, but also like the internet figured it out like the first week.
Well, they did figure it out, but again, nobody cared. Literally, I didn't care. I stopped caring.
And from what I understand, in this one, in the comics, he killed somebody, and it could be that person, and I think there's a couple other people it could be, but I think you just ticked. I know people that are like diehard Walking Dead fans have read the comic, and they say they're done with the show. Like they're done.
Well, people always say that. Then it comes back, and most of them come back. Some people give up. Some people go, I'm just done. But you know, after time, but like you said, most of us will find out who it is before it comes back because it'll be leaked on the internet.
Yeah,
and there's just no way. You can avoid it. If you're on social network at all, there's no way you can avoid it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think just have it that if he's going to kill somebody, just have it show it. Like, why make the cliffhanger? Does it make sense?
And there was no reason to have it.
Yeah.
The other cliffhanger is how did they get out of this situation?
Yeah.
To me, that's what I cared more about than anything. I was like, well, whatever you're going to do here, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, Game of Thrones, boom, boom, boom. There's no, I guess we're spoiled by Game of Thrones. There's no real major cliffhangers in Game of Thrones. They just boom, boom, boom,
boom.
Well,
I mean, there's story pauses where I was like, okay, where is it going to go from here? But that's what you're kind of saying. Like, that's more of
I mean,
they don't hold back when they're killing somebody.
Yeah, second to last episode is usually when somebody dies.
Or so hits the fan.
Yeah, there's none of this. Boom! Oh, is that person dead or is he alive? Oh no, I gotta wait.
Yeah,
I gotta go read a book. No, I'm just gonna wait for this show to come out.
But yeah.
Again, it's their story. They can tell it any way they want. It's like I said, if the writers decided to go this direction after they screwed up earlier in the season, then that's a huge mistake. If it's the network, AMC saying, look, you're our number one rated show. We got to drag this out. They're still getting 12, 13 million people watching an episode. And that's in the today's standard, that's huge. So
for a cable show.
For a cable, any show. I mean, any show now, unless it's CSI something. that's a big, or Big Bang Theory. That's a big deal. But if it's the networks getting involved with it, well, shame on them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. Is it The Host? Is that the show?
The Path. It's about a cult. Well, they say they're not a cult. But it's about a cult and
cults
different things
usually
that
say they're not a cult. That's kind of one of their...
Exactly. So that's what they say. And I'm only on episode 2. I had to stop to finish Daredevil.
Well, 2 episodes is a good...
But I watched it. I go, oh, I want to watch the second one. So I watched... It's excellent. I like it. Because I don't know what's going on.
Nice. I know you're still also going through It's Always Sunny. How's that?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Did you get to Dayman?
The last one was... which one?
The Dayman.
No. This one, the last one I was at, they were having... They had a hole in the partition of the bathroom. And it's a special hole. And so that one was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
So that I don't want to say, because I really can't say it on this podcast what it is, but it was it's always funny.
It's always sunny.
It's always sunny. It's always funny in Philadelphia.
Nice,
it's hilarious. Lucifer has gotten really good.
Yeah, Colleen's really liking it.
I love Lucifer. I liked it at Comic-Con. It kind of slipped a couple episodes. I'm like, okay, this is kind of getting old. But then they reversed it. And then they explained, kind of like 11/22/63, where you go back in time and only 2 minutes has changed in real life.
Uh-huh.
Well, some character goes to hell and he comes back. But it was only like 2 seconds of his time in real life. But he, like, years... In real life. I mean, he was spent years in hell, but only like two or three seconds of Earth time. And how he just reacts to having to go to hell and come back. I like it. It's funny, it's dark, and it's got some humor. But I like it. It's a good show.
Perfect. Perfect. Anything else out there?
Oh, The Grinder. I'm still watching The Grinder. I can't believe nobody else is watching this show. Blackish is hilarious. I guess Blackish this week is doing a takeoff of Good Times.
Good Times.
Anytime you're in it, right? You ever watch Good Times?
I think so. It's like one of those shows that just kind of reruns when I was a kid. I think it still reruns somewhere on like one of those 17.3 channels or something like that.
Dynamite! The 100, I'm still watching. You want to watch a show that's... You wouldn't think it's a good show, but it's an excellent show. Another CW show.
CW is getting pretty good at that.
It is.
A show that's like, that show's probably horrible. It's like, oh, no, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm liking it.
Nice. Nice. There's not much that I'm still going through, save for Bob's Burgers, kind of like a little sideshow. Cat just fell. She's that thing where she like puts the claws as she falls, but then their claws get stuck in whatever she fell into. Dummy. Nice. Let's see. What else? What other things? Fixer Upper. Almost caught up on Fixer Upper. Love that show. Watching my Padres lose a lot of games. That's always fun.
Oh, they're terrible.
At least it seems the hitting's starting to get a little bit better. Myers is starting to get his swing together. And Melvin Upton Jr. is doing better than his brother for cheaper.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough. So that's always exciting.
Is it cheaper?
Yeah, he's cheaper than his brother is right now.
He's $22 million.
I know, but the deal Justin signed with Tigers is more. But he has double the homers and like much better batting average.
Is it a coincidence that his contract ends this year?
Is it in this year or next year?
It's his contract's over this year.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't re-sign him because, again, if it's contract year, then more power to him. But he fooled me once, shame on you.
Well,
fool me twice.
The thing is, you can probably trade him halfway through the year and recoup some of the money by just getting rid of him. And
I thought he had a couple more years on that contract.
No. Who knows what the Padres are doing? They'll probably trade some young talent for some old veteran.
We're building up the prospects, you know.
You should have thought about that last year when you traded all your prospects to go all in, and then they didn't pan out. So now you're reloading your. How many of those prospects around the league are playing well?
Trey Turner,
Joe Ross, Tyson Ross's brother is doing well in Washington. You got pitchers in Atlanta. There's a lot of players out there that are doing well for other teams that we just let go to trade for veterans. You have to have a plan. Either you're rebuilding or you're not.
Got to stick to the plan.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm bitter.
Yeah. I'm done being bitter. I just accept my
fate.
It
just doesn't make sense. And then you get us all hyped up on these players, and then you, I don't know.
Hey, but Matt Kemp's doing well. You're keeping him around. He's not that horrible. He's doing all right.
But he's terrible defensively.
Well, you know, can't be good at everything.
Yeah, I guess not.
At least he's making runs.
Yeah.
But again, I think his WAR is like almost breaks even. Like his offense breaks even with his defense.
Well, that's good.
No, it's not good because then he has like a WAR of like.
I don't know. I'm just trying to get rid of you. I mean, he might be able to trade him to the American League as a DH. I mean, I like him, but that's why I said last year. I go, they got Kimbrel, they got Matt Kemp, they got Justin Upton. I said, okay, James Shield. They signed. All right, we're gonna finally put some money into the team. Then it didn't work. Oh, we're gonna go youth movement. Well, why don't you just hang on to the youth you had?
Yeah, because they wanted to win. Dang it.
I get it, but no. Anyway, I'm not binge watching the Padres. I'm gonna tell you that right now. So if someone says, "Oh, you need to binge watch the Padres," I think I've watched one game.
I've watched.
I still check the box scores and stuff like that. I just don't have time because I have to binge watch all these shows that people make me watch.
Wait, they had the walk off win last night, so that was good.
Yeah, with Melvin Upton Jr. But again, what hurt me is my fantasy team. I have Cashner, and he didn't get the win. So
pitched a good game, though. I watched all of his part of the game and pitched a really good game.
He's still not worth Anthony Rizzo.
No, but as you know, can't lament about the past.
Can't
because if we would have kept Anthony Rizzo, he would have turned out to nothing. So it's just
no. That kid had a swing.
He did, but he only hit like 160 with us.
Sometimes you know, Mike Schmidt only hit 195 his first year in the big leagues. I think Mike Schmidt went on to have a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, because he wasn't playing for the Padres. He got a it's a balance of power here. There's only one balance Tony Gwynn power. Every 50 years for the Padres. It's just we got to wait
for the Padres. Yeah, it's for the Padres. Everybody else seems to be able to pull a player out now and then, but not the Padres. No.
We really, I think the big tragedy was he didn't keep Agon. That was another kind of franchise player we should have kept.
No, it's okay because you got Rizzo. The problem is you didn't keep Rizzo, who you got for Agon, and you got Cashner, who was a sore arm pitcher who had a history of having a bad arm. I mean, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got him for something else, okay, yeah, you could take a chance on him, but you gave up Rizzo.
That's the old regime. I can't. There's a new regime now. I can't blame.
But the new regime is just as stupid as the old one. Again, you're all in, and now you're. Oh, we got to rebuild our farm system. We screwed up.
Got to keep the faith. All right.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, at least we have a beautiful ballpark.
All right.
That is it for this week's Binge Watch. If you enjoyed Daredevil Season 2, let us know. by giving us feedback over at 385-309-0311 if you want to call us and leave a voicemail, or send an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to talk about 112263 for our next episode, which might be a couple weeks down the line here, you can do so at those same lines. So please send those in.
Hey, is anyone else getting tired of the Michael Jordan? They put his face on someone when they do something. The crying
Michael Jordan meme, I think, is hilarious.
But it's like, is it overplayed already? It's like everybody now is the crying Michael Jordan. Every time you turn around, it's crying Michael Jordan.
Because it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but every day.
It's like the joke when you do it too much and then it becomes funny again. That's like the... Are you going to make a video on YouTube saying, leave Michael alone, leave him alone?
But it's just like every single day, it's like, I just saw it again.
It'll die out. Like, it'll go.
No, it won't, because people don't know when to stop. It's the internet. It just keeps going and going.
Well, eventually, internet fads, they go away. Like, it just
not this one
forever.
This one has gone crazy. This one is just ridiculous. It refuses to die.
What did you think of Kobe's last game?
Yeah, I didn't care. Well, I'm not a Laker. I saw his dad play.
Mm-hmm.
So... I know that makes me old, but I saw his dad was Jelly Bean Joe Bryant.
Yeah, call me a jerk, but Kobe just always seemed kind of like a jerk, kind of like a not a nice person. So I didn't really care that much about.
Yeah, him. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't follow him. I didn't. I'm looking at the Michael Jordan thing and laughing.
See.
Anyway, but he had some issues, you know, he was accused of rape and, you know, other things. And so I've just never been a big Kobe fan.
What about Stephen Curry, the Warriors? You watch any of those games? Like, it's insane what they do.
Did you see the one where he's taking shots from, he's in the
like half court?
No, he's not even on the court. He's in the aisle, not the aisle, the tunnel.
Yeah.
Just outside the tunnel. And he's shooting 52 feet away. Swish, swish,
yeah.
Swish. Hey, he's just a machine. It's
unreal.
It is unreal. Because it's like Kawhi Leonard, former San Diego State player, would probably be the MVP of the league if it weren't for Stephon Curry. It's ridiculous. The guy is just amazing. And the Spurs would probably win the NBA championship, but they're not going to get by the Golden State.
Yeah, it's...
They don't have an answer. It's like someone said, they don't have an answer for him. The last time they kept him from shooting outside, we scored all his points from in the paint.
Yeah.
How do you stop someone like that?
But how can somebody be like that? How are you that good? Like
he has the touch.
It's just like he's like runs and he just kind of it's like almost he's throwing and it goes in. Like it just his shots just are like magical. Like it just doesn't it defies like physics.
He's an amazing player. People are starting to say he's the best player of all time.
Now, would you put him above Jordan? I don't know if I'd put him above Jordan.
Not yet. You can't. You just can't. I mean, Jordan. I mean, some people will say even Jordan wasn't the best of all time. Some people say Magic Johnson. Some people will say Larry Bird was the best. It depends on who you. For me, it's Jordan. And that's he was just amazing, but.
Because to me, like, you know, Jordan, it kind of put it like, okay, how clutch were they? Like, Jordan was always amazing, but then he was just so clutch for so long. Like,
right.
He was better in the playoffs, and he was amazing during the regular season anyway.
Right. But he also had to have help around him. He just couldn't. He couldn't do it on his own.
Yeah.
But that's any sport. You have to have the players around you.
Well, okay, he didn't win championships until, like, Pippins came in there and started playing
right.
Well,
they got Cartwright. They got a center and stuff like that. And Oakley. To rebound, but no, he's just right now. I'd still say Jordan, but if you know Curry goes on to win six, you know, hey, people say LeBron James too. I don't know how we forgot him in the conversation, but
yeah,
he's another amazing talent. But Curry, I mean, if he goes like he is now, if say he wins six NBA championships, how can you not say he's not the greatest? He has to be up there.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of seems different to me for like Steph Curry is just. It's just the finesse is on the shots. Like it seems unreal. That's the crazy part to me. Like LeBron is just like, he's just a beast. Like he'll just overrun the game, but like
Steph, because he's built. I mean, LeBron James can jump. He's built.
Yeah,
you know, he's just an amazing. You know,
he's like kind of like Megatron is like as a receiver. Just
right,
like, he's just freaking nature. Like it's just
right. He's
somebody that big shouldn't be that graceful and able to, you know, play like
right. Just, shouldn't be that he shouldn't be that athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is.
But Steph is just like these shots. Yes. Like this is crazy.
Yeah, he's just as crazy. He just it's just you watch him go and go and now but now people just expect it.
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, he missed a shot." It's like Wayne Gretzky who, you know, Wayne Gretzky is just one of those players just had this, you know, and Curry is smart too, so he knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people they just rely on their talent, but you know, you got to use your head too.
Yeah.
I think that's what separates you from being a very good player, because even Kobe Bryant, you'd have to consider him up there in the top 10 players of all time also.
Mm-hmm.
He won championships. He was scoring, but do we remember him the last 3 or 4 years a broken down player or
mm-hmm.
his younger days?
But then also people say, though, like the first three is like, oh, is that because of Shaq or was it really Kobe? Or
well, you know, it just you got to have the team around you.
Yeah.
I mean, even Golden State, they have other players on the team.
Oh, they do, yeah.
We just don't know them because we hear Curry all the time.
Oh, anyway. Enough NBA talk.
Yeah.
But it's just, why I was watching the highlights of the Rockets-Warriors game. I was like, geez Louise, just it's like every highlight reel is just like,
it's almost like, why are we playing this game? I mean, I guess Houston can get excited during the playoffs, but... Why? They're not going to win.
Yeah.
It's like right now the Spurs are beating the Grizzlies 92-59.
Well, again, the Spurs, they have a good team. Like, so could they win a 7-game series? It's possible. Unlikely, but it's possible.
Well, it's like Kawhi Leonard. He's a better player now than when he was with State because he didn't play. He didn't really start playing basketball until his last year in high school.
Yeah.
And only played 2 years of college. Now he's a complete player.
Yeah.
So you never know. It's like the NFL draft. People are like, oh, we got to get the sure thing. What's the sure thing?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a sure thing. We watched that yesterday that we were at your sister's and we're watching the history of the NFL draft on, you know, how they on ESPN.
Yeah.
People, oh, this guy's a sure thing. Well, he's not a sure thing.
Yeah, it's true.
You just never know.
Yep.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, that's a good place to close this off here. I want to send a special thanks to Eckhart Richter, Tack from Tokyo, and Brad from Chicago. I can't even talk anymore. For contributing a significant amount to make these shows possible. And thank you to all of our patrons. Without your guys' contributions, these shows would not be possible. So thank you very much. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go over to jayandjack.com, click on the Become a Patron link, and you can see a full list of all of our patrons there as well, where we say thank you. Also, check out our promotion we're doing with Loot Crate right now. If you go to lootcrate.com/jayandjack, again, it's important to go to that link so that we get credit for sending you there. But lootcrate.com/jayandjack. This month's theme is Quest. Like I said earlier, there's an awesome exclusive Labyrinth t-shirt, which, again, if you're a Labyrinth fan or a Bowie fan, it's a great item for this month, among many other things in that package. For less than $20, you get $45 worth of awesome geeky goodness. So check that out over at lootcrate.com/jayandjack. All right, guys, that is it for this time on Binge Watch. Next time, we'll be talking about 11/22/63. So if you want to binge it, do it now. It's on Hulu. Plus, it's all
you won't
there.
You won't be disappointed.
I would agree. Don't want to say it's binge-worthy before, but it's binge-worthy. So check it out, and we'll see you guys then. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.